that want to sing, want to get some music behind the song, then I'm sure these fellows would be glad to work with you. And no reason why we can't begin to use some of the talent that we have in our church here. James chapter number 1. And what I'll do tonight, if the Lord will, is give you a simple explanation here. An understanding as the Lord will provide and then give you the message. It's a very simple message. Chapter 1 and verse number 12. Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Father, in Jesus' name, we are glad to be here tonight. Amen. Glad to be back in this place. Lord, I want to ask you for your help tonight. Pray, God, that you might make preaching easy, Lord. God, I know I don't deserve to stand. God, I don't deserve to open this book. Lord, I don't see anybody here that does. So, with that calling that's upon our life, I pray, God, that you would help us to be obedient to it. And God, help the people with what you've given us. And God, I pray Jesus might receive the glory and honor, which in his name we pray. Amen. The Bible says that God is not tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man. Does not say that God don't tempt a man. God does not tempt a man to do evil. But God certainly tempts men to do good. God can tempt a man to do righteously. God tempted Abraham to do the right thing with his son Isaac. And so God tempts a man to do right. But God never tempts a man to do evil. The Bible says, but every man, verse 14, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, I want to just look for a while tonight and get by the introduction here, and we'll see where sin comes from, and then we'll try to give you the message. Some of these have heard part of this in Bible school, and you'll just have to bear with us for a few minutes. But the Bible shows us here that there's a product called sin. Amen? It's produced. It doesn't just appear. Sin, it does not just happen. Sin is not just hanging around. Sin actually comes from somewhere. It is produced when two other things conceive. The Bible says in verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Can I just say to you tonight that every one of us, every person that's ever been born, that was born in the image of Adam, was born with a lustful desire in his heart. Your heart is wicked. It's deceitful. The Bible says that every man has a lust. Amen? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now listen, if you've been born again, you have a counter to that lust. Amen? If you've been born again, you have the Holy Ghost of God that's living inside of your life, and He can get victory over the lust. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But just because you get saved does not mean the lust goes away. You still have the same lust. What is lust, preacher? Lust is simply this. It's carnal desires. That's what it is. It's just desires in your heart. It's desires for carnal things. It's longing or anticipation for something that's carnal. That's what lust is. We need to get the layout and help you to understand the whole picture. And so you have lust. Every person, don't think yourself too high, amen. Every person is born with that lust. You have lust inside of you every day of your life. And then, not only do you have that lust, that longing, that carnal desire, but you have enticement. You have temptation. You have allurements from, generally, from the outside. Most enticement, most temptation comes from around you. It comes from outside. It's an outward enticement. Listen to me. Let me help you. Sin can do absolutely nothing to you. Sin is nothing in your life. Sin is a product. That's all it is. Listen, you know what the Bible says? When lust hath conceived. How many of you know what that word means? How many of you know what it means to conceive? Amen? How many of you realize when you conceive, something new is born? Amen? Do you know tonight that you have to have two things to conceive? You can never conceive sin from sin. It's impossible. Sin does not just happen. It is purposed. It comes from conception. It comes when two conceive. Yes, sir. Think about what I'm saying now. Let this thing really sink in. I'm saying here's this man. He's got lust inside of him. He's born with lust. His life is filled with lust. He has a longing and a desire for the things of the world. You don't desire God until you're born again. You don't desire Jesus until you're saved. Amen. This man that's always lusting, always desiring the things of the world. And lust can do nothing by itself. It's empty. It can do nothing. But lust, when it's enticed, when it's conceived, you cannot have conception unless two things come together. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Every one of you were conceived in your mother's womb when husband and wife joined. Then the conception takes place. It's the same way with lust. The lust, that lust inside of you, that longing, that desire for carnality, that carnal makeup, that thing can do nothing of itself. It has to come together and give in and conceive from temptation. And then lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. The product of sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings death. Now, let it sink in. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. I'm going to show you, I'm trying to help you to know and understand where sin comes from. And when we learn tonight where sin comes from, we're going to find out how it gets there and how to keep it out. Amen. Yes, lust is conceived.
When lust conceives with enticement, temptation, it brings forth sin. And the finished product of sin, death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin does not just happen. You are born into sin. You are a sinner. But that don't make you sin. What makes you sin is when that lust of the flesh, when that carnal longing, when that desire for the world is conceived with temptation, you bring forth sin. One preacher called it LSD. Now, how can a man be tempted? Well, as I said, he's enticed by external things. He's enticed by outward things. You cannot sin until your lust conceives with an external source. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now listen to me. There's only five ways that that source can enter and conceive with lust. Five ways. Those are your senses. It's your eyes. It's your ears. These are gates. I don't know if this is, I may get off course here, but I'm going to say it. It's been on my heart. Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I had a different take on what the gates of hell were when I realized what the gates of my sin are.
Yeah, amen.
The gates of hell are these gates. It's this mouth gate. It's these eyes gate. It's the ear gate. It's the smell gate. And it's the touch gate. And you cannot sin unless your lust, that desire you have, is enticed and conceived by temptation that comes in your body through the eye gate, the ear gate, the nose gate, the mouth gate, or the touch gate.
Yep. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I want to, let's break this thing, because then we'll get to the message. I'm going to preach on garden gates. Because see, the problem is not sin. The problem specifically is not temptation. Specifically, the problem technically is not even lust. The problem is what we allow or introduce to lust. And what you allow or introduce to lust has to be introduced through one of those gates. If you really let this thing settle in your mind, think about this. Think about the only reason I ever sinned with rock and roll music is because I allowed the lust to conceive with temptation that I first heard in my ears. If you never had first heard it, if you never had first listened to it, if you never had first given and lended an ear and opened that gate to that wicked wicked, ungodly jungle music, it would never, ever have sinned in your life. You see, our sin is the product of what we allow in our gates. Now, that explains something else. That explains why we independent Baptists have standards. You say, why, preacher? To keep the gates shut. To enticement and temptation. You see, if I never open the gate to it, it'll never conceive. I want you, you got to get a hold of this, folks. Maybe this ain't, you know, I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you, son, you will never in your life, you'll never in your life ever sin when it comes to the wrong kind of music until you allow the wrong kind of music to come in that gate and conceive with lust. Everybody in this room desires the wrong music. We lust for something in the world. We lust. Hey, that's the reason we preach about what we watch. That's the reason you need to be careful about what you see in this world. That's the reason most of us don't have any kind of idea how to control a television or to throw the thing out in the yard. Amen. Because every picture that comes through those gates right there is permanently affixed a photograph in your mind. I was going to preach a message tonight, maybe do it later on some things you can't change. You know something you can't change, brother? You can't change a photograph. Once the picture's took, it's took. The hair will never move again. Them eyes will never blink the same again. However you were when it took, that's the way it is. However that thing was when it came into your eyes and your mind's camera took that picture, took that snapshot, hey, you think the devil don't know about it? No wonder he sings songs and rock songs about snapshots and pictures and all. Hey, he knows. He knows where sin comes from. The Bible says, hey, she looked. When she looked, she saw that it was good. That was her lust. Then you know what happened? Enticement came. Temptation conceived with lust and produced sin. That's why preachers, not anymore they don't. That's why preachers used to pound against what you watch. I don't believe in going to movies. Listen. I'm not one of them that just say, well, I'll just, you know, compromise. And that's not why I watch it at home. I'm careful what I watch at home. But nobody knows what I watch at home unless I allow them to. But the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. And when I go to the movies, everybody's wondering what I'm watching at the movies. You say, well, I'm going to watch Bambi. Yeah, but it's playing beside girls from Miami Beach or something. They don't know where you're going. Listen to me. It doesn't make any difference, though. What I'm telling you is, once that picture's in there, it ain't ever leaving. I cannot remember verses of Scripture to save my life. But I can remember names and tunes and songs
I can remember songs, rock songs. I can remember Rolling Stones and ZZ Top, Mick Jagger and all that crowd. I can remember it. I can sing it. I can announce it word for word. And I can't promote Scripture out of my mouth. You say, why, preacher? Because somewhere back yonder, I opened up a gate that allowed it into my life. What are you saying, preacher? What's the message? Guard your gates. Guard those lips. Guard that mouth. You don't ever taste wine. You'll never know what it tastes like. I would to God I had a testimony tonight that I never touched wine, never let liquor pass my lips, never smoked a cigarette. I would to God I had that testimony. How do you do it, preacher? How can you have a testimony? Guard your gates. Only you can control what your lust is conceived with. The only way that you can live sinless, I don't mean sinless, but sinless, the only way you can do it in your life is you have to be the master and decide what's best for what's going in these gates. You have to do that. Every one of these, that's why kids today, they think parents are stupid. Preachers are stupid. That rock music ain't gonna bother me. It ain't going to hurt me, preacher. It never does anything to me. I can listen to it. I can sing the songs, but it don't affect my life. You're already deceived. You've already been lied to. You know what you've done? You have allowed the formula that God gives for sin to work out of your life. You have received that thing. It has tempted and enticed you, and it has come together and conceived with lust in your life, and it's produced sin. Yes, sir. Well, amen. I don't believe that, preacher. Well, God's a liar. Because God said it. I didn't. That's why parents, and that's why preachers, and that's why we're so hard on little children. Why don't we want you to see those TV programs? So help me, dear God, there ain't nothing on. There, I dare you to find one channel out of five on a nighttime, primetime television sitcom, situation comedy that ain't full of integration or full of sodomy or full of double marriage, swapping wives, swapping husbands, I'm telling you, bless God. Hey, it's all to put temptation and enticement and conceive it with the lust of your flesh. Amen. All of these gates, the ear gate and the eye gate and the mouth gate and the nose gate and the touch gate, they make up three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And every one of them are nothing by their self. But if you introduce them, they conceive with temptation from enticement. You mark it down. Listen to me. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time. Not sometimes. Not once in a while. And here's what's bad. Now listen to me. Let me get this across to you. Here's the sad part. Once that song is in there, once that video is in there, and it's a snapshot, the devil can use it over and over and over and over and over again. And you never have to hear it again. You never have to watch it again. All you have to do is entertain it again. You remember when I preached to you and I talked about the Passion of Christ? You remember one of the points that I talked about was how that when I read the Bible and I read the story, the Passion of Christ in the Bible, when I read about His death, burial, and resurrection, when I read about that, the only person in the world that has given me a full surround sound and a full widescreen view is the Holy Ghost of God. But if you watch it via Mel Gibson, you're gonna get to every time you read it in the Bible after that, every time you see him hanging on a cross, you're gonna picture that queer out of Hollywood. Every time you entertain it, you say you can't prove that. Don't tell me I can't prove that. I can prove that. How many of you in here has ever watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments? When's the last time you read about Moses in the Word of God and the only face you ever thought about or ever came to you was Charlton Heston? That is not of the Holy Ghost. That is of Hollywood. Why, preacher? Because the lust. Now look, don't get mad at me. I'm condemning myself. I'm preaching my own self to the altar. If I can take it, you can take it. Are we living in a society that have absolutely gone so off the wall we can't even stand truth anymore? The truth of the matter is we're full of lust. Our flesh is wicked. It's ungodly. It's demoralizing. It's immoral. Amen. It's good for nothing. Everything we allow in these gates affect it. When it conceives with our lust, it becomes sin.
Amen.
That's why we say, be careful what you touch. Be careful what you see. When I was a little boy, I'll never do it again. But this was wicked. This was ungodly. But I went to one of these haunted houses when I was in the Halloween. I'm ashamed to say this, but the church that I was going to had it. Now, and we all had this Halloween party. And they took us to this church and they took us through this assembly line, cut the lights out, and they'd grab your hand, they'd put your hand on different things. Like for instance, one of the bowls had grapes in it. Peeled grapes. And your mind's eye is telling you that's eyeballs. Well, it sure did. Because that's the pictures the devil always paints. Because that's the lust of your flesh desiring wickedness. I'm just trying to show you. I'm just trying to give you an illustration how wicked and depraved we are. That's the way people are. And everything you touch, everything you see, everything you... Be careful what you smell.
Absolutely. Amen.
Be careful what you taste. You ever heard anybody say, I just don't have a taste for that?
Yeah.
I promise you, it's probably not sinful. Probably not a bit sinful if they don't have a taste for it. Your taste buds. I never had a taste for beer. With this. But one was never enough. And I mean, a thousand wouldn't satisfy me. My body, my lust, had a taste. You hear what I'm saying? Be careful. Guard your gates. That's why we got to watch what we listen to, watch what we watch, watch what our children want. We don't tell me. You know what makes parents mad? Because the preacher just lays it on the table, calls their hand on it, and they're sitting there holding their kid's TV in their lap. And they know he's got one or she's got one in her room. And they got a remote, and mama's never walked in there in the past 2 years to find out what they're watching. Daddy's never been interested because daddy didn't think it was nothing to it. It don't affect you. It's just movies. Yeah. We had one of them games, Nintendos, and when the boys was younger, man, they was games out then that was, you shoot him and blood would splatter all over the screen. Everything was killing or rape or murder. I mean, just, you think it's changed and got better? They're coming out with more powerful stuff. It's wicked and ungodly. You say, what's wrong with that, preacher? We cut the sound down. Did you cut the lights out? I'm just saying, hey, if you want to cut down on sin in your house, you cut down on what's going in the gates.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
You'll cut down on sin every time. Amen. Can I say this in close? Let me give you this. I don't want to leave you hanging tonight. About 2,000 years ago, my Savior came into this world and He hung on an old rugged cross. And I want you to think about every song, every sin, every bit of vile and corruption that's ever went in your gates and conceived and become sin, every little bit. And then you put it all together and lay it on my Savior. And that's what He did for you. There's enough sin in one person in this church from what's been conceived in the gates of their body. There's enough sin in that one person to condemn everybody in this town.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And my Savior paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. What a friend. You can't beat a deal like that. You know something? Our salvation don't keep us from sinning. But it ought to make us motivated to want to try to live more for our Savior. Just for the price that He paid for our sins.
Amen.
Just to show our gratitude.
Amen.
That's enough. Would you stand with me? Gay, you come tonight, please, and play something.